I don't know about you, but God is really good to us. I hope this is coming across and hitting home that, man, as you look over your life, you can realize the goodness of God to us. Today we're going to be looking at Psalms 23, the last part of verse 5, and it says this, "Thou anointest my head with oil." But let me ask you a question as we get started this morning. Who was your favorite superhero character when you were growing up? Was it like somebody like Superman, maybe Batman, maybe the Hulk, or Wonder Woman, or Flash, or the Green Lantern, or Batwoman, or, I don't know, mine was Spider-Man. Anyway, I used to love to watch Spider-Man, then go get my bicycle and run out in the neighborhood and play like I was Spider-Man. But hold that thought for a moment, because today as we talk about the anointing of God, you probably have heard that term many times if you've been in church. And maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But what does it mean? What does it mean when David says, "You anointed my head with oil"? What is it about the anointing? Well, let me give you a definition that I have for us for today so we can all be on the same page, because I'm sure the anointing means different things to different people. Here's the anointing that I find from Scripture that I think is valid. It's this. The anointing is a sign that God has blessed or equipped you to fulfill an assignment or task. The anointing is that God has blessed you or equipped you to fulfill an assignment or given you a task. When God calls you to a particular role or place out of His goodness, He anoints you for that calling. That simply means the Holy Spirit gives you supernatural insight, ability, wisdom, strength, and authority so that you can do the job that God has called you to do. There's another word that goes very similar with anointing in Scripture that basically means the same thing, and it's favor. God gives us His favor, which is His anointing in our life. Let me put it this way. The anointing or the favor of God is the difference between the best that you can do and the best that God can do through you. The favor or anointing of God is the difference between the best that you can do and the best that God can do through you. If you're taking notes, you might want to write that one down. That's good. Before every time I get ready to leave in the morning, I ask God, I say, "God, give me your favor today. Anoint me today." Because I know that if He's with me, I can accomplish more than when I'm with myself. I can only do so much. But if God puts His hand on my life, if God will anoint me, if God will put His favor over me, it can open doors. It can make way. There can be miracles that can occur. A few weeks back, we had Jason Angria. I have a hard time pronouncing his last name. Still a little difficult, but he is the president of Vermeer, which is one of the largest companies in the world. They have plants all the way in China to Australia to Canada to different places. He was at our plant a few weeks ago, and so I wanted to have an opportunity to talk to him. And it's hard to get to talk to someone who is that high up on the chain. So they had a luncheon. I got invited to the luncheon. When I was the last one to enter the luncheon, every seat was taken in this big executive room except the one right beside him on his right side. That's God's favor. That's God's anointing. I was able to sit down, have lunch with him, talk about his family, his children. We had a long conversation. He's a smart guy. He used to work for NASA. Now he runs this large company. But, man, the opportunity, the favor of God, so that he can know who I am as a chaplain in this small little plant in Greenville. That's God's favor. The other day I was in the plant and on Tuesday, and one of the young men, his wife was sick and was running a high fever, and so he said, as I was walking to the plant, he said, "Would you pray for her?" I said, "Yes, let's pray together." So we prayed together. The next day, next time I was in the plant on Thursday, I was walking to the plant. I said, "How's your wife doing?" He said, "Well, guess what?" He said, "I said, Chaplain, I called her on the way home from work after we had prayed that day, and she said at 11:08 the fever broke." You know, that was exactly the moment we prayed. That's the favor of God. That's God's anointing. It's not me. It's not what I can do. It's what God does through us. When God calls us, He equips us, He anoints us to do the job that we can't do on our own. It is your superpower. It's your X factor. It's what makes you a, quote, a human superhero with the anointing of God on your life. And God gives it to everyone who believes generously. His anointing. Listen, the anointing of God is not necessarily for material gain or financial success. Doesn't mean God won't bless your life, but that's not what it's there for. Understand, God's goodness is placed on your life because He loves you and He's called you and He has a purpose for your life, and it's to help you accomplish that. Look at what Psalms 84:11 says. This comes from the NIV this morning. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Anybody remember that song? We sing that in church a long time ago. "The Lord thy God is a song and shield." Anyway, the Lord bestows what? Favor and honor. You can say anointing there. Same Hebrew word for favor there. The Lord bestows anointing or favor or honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk is blameless. Doesn't mean we have to live perfectly to have His anointing, but it means that we are living for God with all that we have. And we will live for God and get up with a mindset when I get up in the morning, "God, my life is Yours. I'm living for You today. God, would You bless me with Your anointing?" God's going to go, "No, I don't think so today." No, He's going to bless you with the anointing of God upon your life, His favor, His blessing upon you. This morning I want to give you 5 principles if we have time. I've got 15 minutes. I want to move fast. But we got 5 principles on the anointing today. I know the first principle sounds a little corny. It sounds a little bit like a cliche. And you know I don't like cliches, but you'll remember it if I say it. So let me use this cliche for one time. It's this: when God appoints you, He anoints you. When God appoints you, He anoints you. God never asks you to do something He will not support you in doing. He never says, He's never going to leave you hanging dry if you go out and He says, "I want you to do this." If He gives you an assignment, He will empower you to do that assignment. And here's the deal. Anytime God gives you something to do, it will always be bigger than you. He's not going to give you something that you can do all alone, because He likes working with you. I have a 3-year-old grandson. His name is Henry. He really looks like he's 5 years old. He's a big boy. And so when he goes over to our house, he will tear up our house inside if you just let him go. So I will say, "Henry, Poppy's got some weeds in the backyard. You want to go help me? We got some men work to do. You want to go help me do some man work?" "Oh, yeah, Poppy." He'll go outside. We'll go outside. He's got a little wheelbarrow. I pull it out of the garage. It's a little wheelbarrow. He's got a little rake. He's got a little shovel. And then I'll get my wheelbarrow, my shovel out, and we'll go out there and we'll go pull up weeds in the yard. And all the whole way he's working, he's got a little shovel. He's digging. He's getting to what he can get. He'll say, "Poppy, is this a weed?" I say, "Oh, yeah, that's a weed." Because I almost everything in my yard is a weed. "Is that a weed?" "Oh, yeah, that's a weed. Pull it up." "Is that a weed?" "Yeah, he's pulling it up." And he can get what he can get. When he can't get, I help him with what he can't get. And I'll work him for an hour. Like, he won't stop. He loves it. He thinks it's the world. He's out there for an hour working. And I love it too. Because it's a memory that I always have with him. I enjoy being out there and pulling up those weeds and him just going, "Wow," you know, working together on it. God's the same way. If I said, Henry, why don't you go pull out some weeds while Poppy eats his lunch? There ain't no telling what that boy's going to pull up. And he's going to give up within 5 minutes and he'll be playing basketball. But if I'm out there with him, he'll finish the task and make my yard look a little bit better. If we will just allow God to use us, God will use you because he wants to anoint you, because he has something for you. And when you do, it gives him glory. He wants to work with his people. He wants to work with his children because he loves us. Jesus says this, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, nothing can be accomplished in the kingdom without his anointing, without his favor upon our lives. Paul put it this way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, and look on the screen. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He's faithful, what? To anoint you so that you can do the task that he's called you to do. So when he appoints you, he anoints you. Number two, God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. Now, I didn't say difficult. I didn't say he would make your task easy. I said he will make it easier. Because you got to remember, your resources and my resources are limited. My energy is limited. I don't know about yours. My knowledge is limited. My wisdom isn't that much. And my talent isn't all that great. But here's what I know. God has limited resources, talent, wisdom, knowledge that I don't have. So with God, I can do things that I could not do on my own. Several years ago, we were pastoring in Greer, South Carolina. We were doing a care fair, which is a large event where we would have about 1,500 people or more come for food, haircuts, hot dogs, and we'd preach the gospel to them and all these kinds of stuff. And one of the guys who was in charge of advertisement came up to me during the care fair, and he said, Pastor, he says, the country station is here, and they want to do an interview with you. Like, I'm sorry, I don't listen to country music very often, so I don't know what, if it's 92.5 or what it is, Weasel, or what, I don't know what station it was, but it's like one of the most popular country stations at the time, you know? They came up and they said, we want to do an interview with you, because he had contacted them and told them what we were doing and asked them if they would come, and, you know, they asked several people, but this radio station showed up, and I had the opportunity to share the gospel over the airwaves to on a country station, to lost people. I couldn't have done that. That was God's anointing. That was God's favor. That was God saying, let me show you, Lee, what I can do that you can't do. That's what God does with us. He will take us and show us that he can do things that we can't do on our own. He'll take a difficult task and make it easier. In Ephesians 3:16, in the New Living Translation, it says this, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, I like that, don't you? His unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Here are some signs you may not be walking in his anointing. If you're tired all the time. When you try to solve problems, you're worn out. When you're asking other people to do, listen to this one carefully, when you're asking other people to do what only God can do, when you're stressed out all the time, that's when you get down your knees, say, God, I need your anointing. I need your anointing. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And I'm trying, and I shouldn't be. And I'm sorry, forgive me, but I need your anointing. Here's what I believe. With God's anointing, you're going to be more confident. I believe you're going to be more competent. And I'm going to believe you're going to be, I know this is not a word, but more calmer. You'll just be calmer. You'll have more peace. So when God anoints you, he anoints you. Number two, when God anoints, when God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. Here's number three. God's anointing makes the impossible possible. Listen, in your business, in your marriage, in your health, in your relationship, you may feel overwhelmed. You may feel like the problems are bigger than you. But here's what I know. We have a good, good Father. And He can handle any situation or any problem we're given. Nothing is beyond God. Therefore, I can rely on His ability and His resources. Luke 18:27 says, "With what is impossible with man is possible with God." I saw a plaque a few months ago in an engineer's office, and I wrote it down because I thought this was really good. He said, his plaque said this, "Yesterday's impossibilities are today's miracles. God specializes in the impossibilities." Like that. Ephesians 3:20 in the NLT says this, "Now to all the glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." That God has the ability to work through us to do more than we ask or even think. That God's anointing is much more powerful. Maybe you heard the phrase before, the anointing breaks the yoke. You've heard that before? Yeah. You hear that? Where does that come from? It actually comes from Scripture. It comes from Isaiah, the prophet. In Isaiah, it says that in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. And what was happening was the Israelites were under the oppression of the Assyrians, and they were ruthless, and they kept coming and taking, and every time they grow their crops, they'd come and steal all their crops, and they were just, you know, taking everything they could get their hands on. And Israelites weren't power enough to break this yoke of the Assyrians. And God is telling them, "Look, I'm getting ready to anoint you. And this power of this yoke of this Assyrian enemy is getting ready to be broken off of you because of my anointing upon you." God's anointing is greater than your enemy. The Bible says, "He whose enemy is greater than he that's in the world." God's anointing can break the yoke of the enemy. That you can have faith and trust in God and hope in God because God is much stronger than the enemies you face in life. That's why I said earlier, the anointing, the favor of God is the difference between what you can do and what God can do. Here's the good news. I believe that God wants to anoint His children. Because it says in 1 John 2:27, "As for you, the anointing you received," when you receive it, when you surrender your life to Christ, "the anointing you received from Him," what does it do? "It remains in you." That God wants to anoint His children. God has invested greatly in your life. He created you. You realize that? You didn't get here by accident. You got here because God wanted you on this planet. He created you. He shaped you. He gave you spiritual gifts. He's given you spiritual abilities. He's given you a unique personality. Some a little more unique than others. But He's given you a unique personality, right? Why? Because He loves you. And to top it off, He sent His Son to die for you. You ought to read John 3:16 like this, "For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son for you. God has made an incredible investment into your life. And one day God's going to say, what did you do with the investment that I poured into you? What did you do with what I gave you? How did you use the gifts and talents to honor me, to love me, and to love people? The anointing is not about me. The anointing is about me loving others, which brings me to point number four. We're getting there. God's anointing makes the impossible possible. And number four, God's anointing anoints your life to bless others. God doesn't give you favor for your benefit alone. God gives you favor and anointing to help others. When you help others, you will be blessed. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But think about the anointing that was upon Jesus for a moment. Remember when Jesus stood up in the temple and they handed him the scroll, and in the scroll, when he opened it, it was in Isaiah chapter 63, and he read these words. Comes from Luke 4, 18 through 21. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? For he's anointed me to bring the good news to who? The poor. Is that people without money? It could be. But it's really those who are in need. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring the good news to those in need. He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released. Who are the captives? Anyone who's bound. Anyone who's bound by sin. Anyone who is bound by a situation. He sent me to set them free. The blind will see. Is it people who can't see? Yeah, it could be. But it's also those who are spiritually lost and can't see. That Satan, Paul says, has blinded their eyes. Right? That the oppressed will be set free. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll. He handed it back to the attendant and sat down. All the eyes of the synagogue looked at him intently. And then he began to speak. The scripture you just heard has been fulfilled this very day. His message was very simple. When he got up to speak and they handed him the scroll, it wasn't a long message. It was just simply, the Spirit has anointed me to meet whatever need you have. That God's Spirit will meet every need that we have, but he anoints us so that we can meet the needs of others. That's why. In Acts 10:37, I like how it says this. I chose the message for this scripture because it says it very clearly. He says this in the message. In Acts 10:37-38, you know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee. After John preached, a total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people, healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. You see what the anointing was for? Jesus went throughout the countryside, and everywhere he went, wherever there was someone in need, he ministered to them. That same anointing now rests on you and I. In John 14, if you put it on the screen there, in John 14 it says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done, even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. In other words, the same anointing that was upon Jesus now rests upon his church, upon you and me. So that when we're going through our day and we sit with someone and they say, oh man, my wife got sick, you have every right to pray in the name of Jesus Christ and believe God for healing for their wife or their husband. You have every right with that cashier who's having a bad day to say, oh, you're having a bad day, let me pray for you. You have every right to pray for that one who's in need. Because God's anointing doesn't just rest upon me, it rests upon you and everyone who believes in the name of Jesus. For you will do greater things than these. how is that even possible? Because there's more of us walking the earth, that we can do even greater things than these. And getting to the last one, I'm 3 minutes over. Y'all okay? Everybody still fine? All right. For every new challenge, you need the new power from God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, it can't be stored up. You can't live on yesterday's anointing because we're leaky vessels. It's just like manna. You know, when God gave manna to the children of Israel, they had to eat it every single day. They had to get new manna and gather it. They couldn't, like, store it in their tent for a midnight snack. I didn't have a question about that with God. Like, why couldn't we just store a little bit for dinner late at night? No, God's like, no, I give you what you need for the day, right? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's like that. It's like he gives us what we need for the day. When Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, he said to ask the Lord for our daily bread. He didn't say ask the Lord for a lifetime supply. Like, I would like to have it all stored up right now, so make sure I know I have it for tomorrow, right? Like, I always buy two of everything, so I always have an extra one, and so I don't have to run out at the last minute to go to the store. And God's like, no, I give you what you need for today. The anointing is fresh for the day. That's why when you get up, don't be shy to ask God for a fresh touch, for his favor for today, for the anointing for the day. Christian, if you'll come. There was a Keith Green song that we sang a lot in church back in the 90s. And it was said this, oh Lord, please light the fire that once burnt bright and clear. I don't know when the last time you've asked for God's anointing, but you have every right to ask for it today. Maybe you need a fresh anointing. Maybe, man, you've been running hard after God, but man, it seems like you're doing it all in your own strength, and you just need a fresh anointing. This morning, as we close, why not us ask God for a fresh anointing, right? Why not us just ask God for his favor again upon us?